Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Reading from Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other beside He, and to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Let's give thanks for such words in such a way, God's way, and can only be accomplished in Christ. Let's pray in His name. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ, the new and living way. Help us to know and to understand even these words here, Thy command to love Thee with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, knowing there is no greater commandment than that. Help us to see that from what we have here read, and that we may know it rightly from this scripture and from all of scripture, that we may not be left to rush the scripture to our own destruction, as we fear many do, even concerning this teaching of thy holy law, and also the sacrifices. We pray, Father, in the name of Christ, the great sacrifice, that thou wilt teach us and lead us, that thou wilt in these things make him unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Father, if there are any that are still lost in the world, we pray that thou wilt awaken them through thy law, thy holy law, that it may be a schoolmaster to bring them to thyself through Christ, and then bringing them guilty to Christ for forgiveness, forgiveness from thee because of Christ. We pray that this might take place to many, Jew and Gentile. We pray it might take place in the church and in the world. We pray it might take place especially in the home, that homes will be healed and homes will be reconciled, that homes will not continue to be broken so terribly as they are, that the church will teach rightly concerning them. Also, Father, that our nation is also broken and separated in strife, strife of words, false accusations. We pray that we may see that, and especially those nations that are not only in strife, but where there is so much suffering, hunger, want, homelessness, fear, all these things that are taking place in certain nations where there is corrupt governments, where there is civil strife, where there is the wrong way of teaching thy name and thinking that they must kill in thy name. Help many to see the evil of it, the lie of it. All these things, Father, we pray for thy great and glorious kingdom. Also, we pray and give thanks for the temporal things. We give thanks for what we have in nature, so blessed. We pray, Father, for those that are not blessed as we are, that are in hunger, that they might also have the blessings in nature. We pray for those especially dying in starvation, that they might have the blessing of thy word and the message of the gospel. We pray for those in sickness, that they might be healed, those in injury. We pray for the broken homes and the children in them. We pray, Father, for other areas of suffering, the persecuted ones, war-torn lands. All these, Father, we pray that thou wilt give mercy through Christ, in whose name we do give thanks. Amen. As we continue thinking of truth, after this scribe here asked the Lord Jesus, which is the first commandment of all, and the Lord Jesus gave him the answer, then the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. The truth. Not only was it true, but it was the whole truth, all that needed to be said. And as this man agreed with Christ, he said, "For there is one God and there is none other, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." What a statement. And evidently, that was also truth as that man spoke it. As the Lord Jesus then saw that he answered this greatly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." How are we to understand that? Paul, when writing to the church at Rome, said, "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified." He must have understood the necessity of doing this, and also the guilt in coming short of doing it. Only then could he be near the kingdom of God. As we read here, this commandment, how true it is. And if we believed it with this scribe, that it was true, what a change it would bring in every nation, sadly, in every church, which shouldn't have to happen, but it must. In every home. Every home should love God above all. And every home should love their neighbor as themselves. The proof is there that very, very many don't love their neighbor as themselves. The broken homes prove it. They prove we are in a other kind of way, a sad way, a terrible way. What Paul calls perilous times, as he writes to Timothy. He said, "In the last days there will be perilous times, terrible times. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters," all of that, proud, false accusers, many things mentioned, many that I'm not mentioning are there, as Paul describes them to Timothy, which will take place in the last days, and they are here now. They are one of the causes for broken homes, simply lovers of their own selves, no thought of their neighbor, no thought of their closest neighbor. One that God has said, "Man shall leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Christ teaching the church at Ephesus, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, and so he should love his wife. That is needed, much more than we're doing, every one of us. I had a good and wonderful wife for 64 years. A year ago she died. I wished I'd have loved her more. I wished I'd have told it to her more. If you have the opportunity, do it. Be thankful if you have a wife, a husband. So many don't. And if you are one that has never been married, Christ also through Paul has a word for you, saying that those who are married will think of their husband or wife, but those that are not will think of Christ. And that is a right place also. But in that same chapter, Paul writes that a husband and a wife is not to leave her husband, and if she leave him, she is to remain unmarried. And then also, if she is to remain unmarried or return to her husband, then it must be true that he should not be married again either, or she can't come back. And even more, as Paul writes further, "What knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" There should be such love for a wife that is not faithful, or in that case there, sometimes not a believer, or if one has left, that they want them to be saved. And the same thing to the wife. "What knowest thou, O woman, whether thou shalt save thy husband?" Do you think that they would want that to happen if they were remarried? They would probably know that if the other one was saved, they would want to come back. They would confess their sin. They would confess their lack of love. And so when we think about this here, to love God above all and first of all, the first and great commandment, as we read here other places sometimes, it's called the first great commandment and great commandment. And then the second one, like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And then the man realizes what Christ has said. Thou hast said the truth. Christ has the truth. He not only states the truth, he is the truth. And he can give the truth. He can give it to you and I through the new birth. He can give it to you and I through his teaching. He is not only the Savior, he is also prophet. God said to Moses, a prophet like unto you, he would raise up him so the people hear. And Peter gave strong warning, very, very strong, that we are to hear him. When he quoted Moses, he also stated, and can read in Acts chapter 3, when God said to Moses, he would raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And then this warning, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Shall be destroyed from among the people. Peter isn't talking to people and say, you must destroy them, as so many have in the church wrongly, killing one another. One part of the church killing another part. This is in God's hand, shall be destroyed. We read that in other places as well. What we mentioned last week, what God said about those in authority, no power that be, but are of God. And then Paul writes, those that resist shall receive damnation. Now, whether we use the word damnation or destruction, the end is really the same. We also read that when Christ talks about the narrow way that leads to life and the broad way that leads to destruction. Take heed. Listen to Christ or destruction. We have the same thing already in the Old Testament. When David writes in Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Christ has both. He is prophet, priest, and king. And one day he will come back and be the judge of all. Some he will say, inherit the kingdom of God. To others he will say, depart into everlasting fire and condemnation. Then destruction will come in a terrible, terrible way. Oh, we must give heed to that word. Christ said those words that I just quoted, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Everlasting and eternal. Two separate ways. When we think of these words again that we have here of this man claiming that this is more than whole burnt offering and sacrifice, we say, well, how can that be? Isn't sacrifice something to take away our sin? Yes, the great sacrifice of Christ is. All these sacrifices that were ordered and all performed already by Abel, Noah, Moses was given commandment of how to do this, and others as well, and they brought these sacrifices, but they had to be brought in the right way. They had to be brought knowing the first and great commandment, knowing that it was God's commandment, great, must be done, and knowing that they had not done it, and then coming in humbleness, coming in guilt, coming and saying, I need a sacrifice that gives the type of Christ, as Abel did. And if that was not done, it would be as God dealt with Judah in the time of Jeremiah, the time when he destroyed the land, destroyed Jerusalem. The temple was burned down. In the first part of Jeremiah 7, Jeremiah was told to stand on the gate of the temple and say, "This is no longer the temple of the Lord." His spirit was gone. The people were left. They had sinned and sinned and sinned. God had sent his prophets early betimes because he had compassion on his people in place. And it says, "Tell there was no remedy." Listen to what God said to Jeremiah. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offering and sacrifice. But this thing I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." Here, basically, God is saying, he told them when he took them out of Egypt, already what Christ has said, to love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. Then we read, "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart." I'm afraid the same thing then is what we have today. Proud. Lovers of self. Proud. Boasters. Here, imagination of their evil heart, and went backward, not forward. "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you my servants the prophets daily, sending them early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction." And then listen to this. "Truth is perished." Christ spoke words of truth. We read of it different times. Last week and the week before. Here, at this time, truth is perished. What's left? The lie. Pride. Not love, but hatred. "Truth is perished and is cut from off their mouth." Couldn't think it or speak it anymore. And it's not just the time of Jeremiah. There was that also with Isaiah, a prophet almost 100 years before Jeremiah. We read there in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." The law isn't spelled out there as Christ said it to this man that asked, what is the first commandment? Christ gave it in full. Here it's just simply the law. But it includes all that the law commands in love. All, also, the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. "Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." This is what he calls them, people of Sodom and Gomorrah, like that. Later, in the time of Ezekiel, he even said that Sodom and Gomorrah were better than they called them their sister. Going on here, verse 11, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, because it is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is an iniquity, even the solemn meeting." Is that true for some of the solemn meetings today as well? Do we know the law of God? Do we give place to it? There are many that do not want to, even in those that would call themselves conservative churches. Some that are very right in very many things. but do not want to give place for the law, as Christ did, saying there was no other commandment greater than that. And then when the man answered and said what he did to Christ, Christ said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. That is God's teaching through Christ. We need to give heed to it. Listen again, as we read there, when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. When this man said that to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than whole burnt offering and sacrifices, he may be thinking of doing it in the right way, rather than the way that we read of from Jeremiah and Isaiah. And we can read of the same thing. Malachi brings out the same message of they not bringing the sacrifices in the right way. And generally, those things rise or fall together. If we know we have to love God, and we know that it is truth, we tremble before it, then we can bring the sacrifice the right way. And particularly, Christ, the true sacrifice that takes away sin. Yes, takes away sin. But it cannot be done in lightness. And we cannot think of even Christ and his wonderful sacrifice if we think lightly of the law. Not that we earn our way. Paul said very plainly and clearly in Romans 3, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. But by the law is the knowledge of sin. We must have that clear and remember. That's a teaching to the New Testament church. By the law is the knowledge of sin to everyone in the church. That was an established church at Rome, a good church, known throughout the whole world. Read the first chapter. And that's what Paul wrote to them. And then he gave the example of himself in the seventh chapter. I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Sometimes people say, well, there's nothing about the law in the book of Acts. No, probably not. But Paul was converted, and his conversion is described in the book of Acts, chapter 9, 22, 26. And then in Romans 7, he describes some of the things that he experienced in that time, that he had not known sin without the law. Except the law said, thou shalt not covet. We are a covetous nation today. We're so dissatisfied, it's terrible. We don't even want to go back to the faith of our fathers. That's why our leaders are sometimes, the right leaders, are hated so much. We have to repent and know what God's law said, that we will then know rightly the gospel of Christ. Yes, the gospel of Christ, which as Paul wrote to the church at Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Oh, how we need believing today.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.